100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, where I post a topic, you come up with the stories, post them to one a day, until the day I die. Ooh, there's a blue jay on the fence. They're always so pretty and bright blue. Oh, well. Where was I? All right, one a day until the day I die.com. We gather up. Blah, 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 blah. You've heard this before. And on comes the... You know what? I'm going to let that sound go. So we've got a whole bunch of stories this week. Jeffrey Fisher. Muncie. Richard. Tom. Lizzie. John. Serendipity. Turura. Danny's Back. Norval Joe. And Planet Z. Okay, you don't want to hear me babble on and on and on. You've read all the headlines, you know, whatever. Okay, here are the stories.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 562. And the topic is a pick two. I can never pick just two, so I picked a whole bunch. For some reason, my voice continues to sound like crap. I suspect I damaged my vocal cords in a fit of coughing some time ago. I had about a month's worth of coughing all the time, and punctuated by an exciting procedure to drain fluid from my lungs that involved, yes, coughing. So who knows when I'll recover? Maybe I never will. So get used to it. Anyway, my story for this week is called The Club. Brunch at the club was always a tedious affair. I would be surrounded by elderly women in floppy hats and purple flowery dresses, even more ancient, venerable-looking men in threadbare suits that were the height of fashion in 1972. The maitre d' would invariably lead me to the worst table in the club, as though he was worried I would do something shameful. Perhaps he was right. The service was indifferent, and the food nearly inedible. So why did I continue going to the club week after week, despite what sounds like an all-around unpleasant experience? Two words. Bottomless mimosas. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Greetings and a happy end of January, your first month without an official nickname. Did you miss your monthly nickname? No? Nah, I assumed nobody cared about that. Story time. Upon Being Invited to Brunch by Christopher Monroe. Yes, I'd love to join you for brunch. It's a good meal, after all, and you're a good person. At least everything I've learned about you has led me to believe you are. And I suspect that the two of us could very much enjoy one another's company over food. Just pick the place, and I'll be there with a smile on my face. I'm already looking forward to it. However, I'll offer fair warning. Don't be shocked if I arrive via party bus. It's been a long couple of weeks for me. I don't want to get into it. Broken Escalator tweets at Munzee Munzee, and so it ends until next week.
Good morning. It's Richard, and to my surprise this week, I've managed to come up with two stories. So here we go. The first one is medical advice. The doctor told me I really shouldn't be worried. Everyone gets a little floppy now and again. Maybe work is a little stressful, or you're just tired. Or could be one of those signs that you're simply not as young as you used to be. Worrying yourself about it isn't really going to help matters. I asked him if there was anything he could prescribe, but he was reluctant to go down that route. See how things work out, he said. Actually, everything worked out just fine. Turns out the girls just can't resist a rabbit with floppy ears. Our second story is called Purple. It was one of those unfortunate accidents. Working late in the lab one night, a freak combination of a leaky reactor, a spilled test tube, and a small explosion combined to subtly alter Professor Argon's body chemistry in a totally unexpected manner. Sadly for the professor, his resulting superpower, although interesting, appeared in practical terms to be useless. No incredible strength, invisibility, X-ray vision, or fantastic speed for him. Instead, he gloried in bright purple skin during daylight hours. He did, however, make a fortune from copywriting his colour and selling the international retail rights to paint manufacturers. There you go. All done. See you next week. Goodbye.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And my story this evening is called Y'all Come Back Now. Purple Brunch, Purple Brunch. All I want to see you do is eating purple brunch. One of Prince's last songs. It was going on the last album he was working on, oddly titled I Would Die For You. All the songs were about food. It was part of a tie-in to the launching of Purple Rain Burger Shacks, the home of the Purple Burger. No more singing and dancing, just an old black guy in a white suit. It worked for KFC, why not for PRBS? Prince even laid down serious coin for official. Kentucky Colonel, proclamation, tongue wagging good. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. I called it Blindfold. Wear a blindfold and follow the hordes. Blindness is liberating. Not even the venerable elders will lead us through. Don't fight it. That growing lightness cradles a fading uncertainty, a state of alluring oblivion, of complete exemption. It will free us. Turn it off. That's depressing. The silence invaded the darkest corners of the room as the two friends sat side by side in front of the TV. Did you notice she was pregnant? I don't want to think about it. Did you notice? No. You're wearing a blindfold already. You're doing what they want. Just shut the hell up. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Your Skin Color Wasn't Relevant on the Radio by John DeCleese.
Haniwa Fury, it is I, Straight Arrow.
The bus driver is old. He remembers World War II. He is also aware that you need passwords to do anything after the millennium.
Come on, what's that from?
Radio, says my friend Bruce. He is a white rancher by day, but when danger threatens, he is the heroic Indian, Straight Arrow. That's how he greets his horse, who he keeps in a secret cave. First Native American radio hero I can remember. Bruce grins at me.
It is I, Straight Arrow, and my friend, Not-So-Straight Arrow. Come on aboard, the driver smiles.
In Modern Washington by John DeCleese. The venerable Taffy worried that the brunch she had planned would be heavy as lead. She wanted it to be as light as argon, and she hoped as inert. She was tired of parties that disintegrated into brawls. She hoped for parties where everyone was cheerful, happy, non-corrosive, but she would settle for simple good manners and pleasant conversation. Lobbying had always been done by women, at least the best of it. She longed for the days when Elsa had seated General Eisenhower next to Marilyn Monroe. She put on her floppy purple hat, sighed, and headed for the garden.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. The Venerable Reverend Albert Shuttlestone closed and locked his vestry door, threw his purple robe carelessly over a chair, and poured himself a large scotch. Sinking into a battered leather chair, he pondered over his position. Had selling his soul to Satan been a bad thing? He wasn't sure. Certainly he had a massive and loyal congregation now, none of whom suspected they were on their way to the eternal fire. But there was still one constant irritation that troubled him. Being the devil's disciple was definitely cool. But those bloody black masses were boring the hell out of him.
Tura Brazino here, and for this pick two, I've chosen Lead and Venerable. There were lead shot sewn into the hem to make the robes hang better, enhancing their gravity to enhance the gravitas of the venerable primate. Ha! He had never felt less venerable, with the new king openly contemptuous of everyone outside his coterie. "These robes," he said to his dresser, "do not meet the moment." "Yes, the times are changed," said the dresser discreetly. "Ex officio, you can wear a military coat, but perhaps something ambassadorial would suit." "An excellent idea," said the archbishop, expressing intent on constructive accommodation. But he feared that he might not long survive the coronation.
Take two! Well, yeah, because the first one failed, so when you fail the first time, you gotta try a second time. So this is like the second take on Weekly Challenge 562, in which I'm supposed to pick two. And I have to admit, I failed. Oh, this is Danny Dwyer, by the way. And you can see my works at dannydwyer.wordpress.com occasionally. I've been out of it lately. You know, it's like things get real. Well, anyway, back to Weekly Challenge 562, pick two. You know, I couldn't do it, so I only picked one word, and the word was brunch. And that word is not present in this week's challenge, I promise you, but all the other words are. So here we go with Weekly Challenge 562. Venerable Capital... God damn it. Let me try it again. Venerable Captain Spaulding of the taffy industry woke up one day to realize he could not get any lead in his pencil. Suffering from floppy penis, a.k.a. erectile dysfunction, off to the urologist he went.
"Good news!" the urologist exclaimed. "We have just invented a purple argon therapy that will make Viagra obsolete. All we have to do is shove a fluorescent tube up your urethra in what can only be described as a painful operation."
Worried, Spaulding replied, "Are there any side effects?"
"Only if you get an erection," Doc retorted.
"Okay, Doc, I'm convinced. One prescription for Viagra." And that's my entry for this week. Technically that was take three, but, you know, I get tired of recording these things. I got a bit of a stutter. And yes, that's the Addams Family playing in the background, so I hope you enjoyed. And again, Danny Dwyer, WordPress.com. Talk to you soon. Later.
Hello. Philip Norville Joe Carroll, here, from NorvilleJoe.com. And this is my entry for Weekly Challenge number 552 with a pick 2 prompt. Here's my story. As the dust settled around the startled exploring party, Thurbing worried that their adventure had come to an end. When the ringing finally faded from his ears, he discovered that an unusual crunching sound was actually the venerable wizard's laughter. "What find ye so blasted humorous, old man?" Carbuncle asked. "We be in our tomb." "Not to be worried, my worthy companion. Follow my lead and you, like the rest of us, will be free of this crypt, forthwith," Fenestration said. A purple glow surrounded the wizard from his boots to his floppy black hat. Still cackling, he strode forward. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Purple Argon topped the charts for weeks with their venerable Taffy album. Not that the charts meant much anymore. When was the last time you went to a record store? Bought an album? Sure, the charts take into account online stores like iTunes and Amazon Music, but the record companies and recording industry get all the money anyway. Bands get nothing. This is why bands tour so much. Ticket sales that pay the bills. Or don't. They break up, reform as Lead Brunch, and go out on tour again. But the cool kids still wear purple argon shirts.
I didn't even say what the topic was, did I? It's a pick two. It was a little this, a little that. You know, it's up on the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Go over there. When was the last time you've been there? Well, probably never, considering the lack of comments and this and that and whatever. You know, hey, try to be supportive of each other. I try to. I mean, I do the damn thing, right? The next topic is going to be late. And what else am I going to say? You know, I've got the lemonade going here because I can't drink coffee or tea or caffeinated sodas. So I'm like half asleep. Tinny was asleep in my lap and it's like, I got to get up, got to get this, got to plug this in, got to record. Cats don't understand. They just look at you like, oh, you don't want me anymore. So she's, you know, doing her butt grooming on a chair over there, letting me know, you suck. That's it. I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening and being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.